Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Dice Before Dishonor, Season 1, Episode 49. 49, gentlemen. Could this be a season finale, or could this be the beginning, a flip of another side? How many TV shows have you watched where they leave you on a cliffhanger? How many TV shows have you watched where they end a story, and then they just take one step into the new story, and then leave you hanging there for 6 months? We'll see where this episode ends and where it goes. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, my distinguished pleasure and thank you to work with some of the finest friends and role players that I've had a chance to. Again, unfortunately, we do not have a full cast, but because of the events that are going to unfold and because of the differences you'll see in those characters, you'll see that this one time, or as of late, it's okay that they're a little puppeted by me, and you'll find out why. But in the house, we have Matt Witt, Jay Tamlin, Aiden Willems revising their roles as Sir Winston, Lord Hakiro something something. What is your last name?
Hakuryu Akihiko.
Akiko, Lord Akiko.
That's my first name, Hakuryu.
Yes. Nicknamed Leon to his close friends and subordinates.
And everybody who can't pronounce his name.
And Fafal.
You will soon.
Soon enough. Soon enough. Once again, our founding father corporation, in debt as myself, Dicewise Entertainment, presents, sponsored by Fantasy Grounds and Devon Nightmare, the what we hope is the finale Before Dishonor. Gentlemen, so exciting. So exciting that we're back and the battle's over and there's ketchup bottles all around, which, of course, I really enjoy. What do you want to do now? What to do? What to do?
Search the rest of this place. Pick my lance up.
Okay.
You know.
All right.
The huge. Stanch any bleeding.
Not die.
Okay. Well, retrieving items, number one.
Except number for the spider. She bleed.
I think she's done. Taking stock of our wounds, let's go with Lord Akiku. What's your hit point max right now?
Max hit point is 30.
And what do you got?
21.
Okay. So you've got some scrapes and bumps and bruises, a little bleeding, the old bandage, you know, around the forehead kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Sir Winston, what is your max hit point at this level?
34.
34. Okay. And
I am currently at 10. Yes, oh, I've taken a wallop.
I mean, you don't walk anyway, so that should be fine.
Mm-hmm. Now, we may have revealed different numbers for Mr. Willems' characters. We've hinted a bard, a slayer, a rogue, much more. Why have we kept it vague? Well, the current, let's put it this way, the Fafal that did not put on the ring like he was told, has gone through some changes. And I'm not talking about the type that, if you have too much of that T. What is your maximum current hit point, Mr. Willems?
24.
And what are you at?
I'm at 4 hit points.
You dove into this battle with 4 hit points? Man, you're brave. Somebody give this sylph a medal. All right. So, do we have any healing amongst us? No.
Nope.
Nope. No spells left or possibility. No, all changed or burnt or, you know, we'll just say not available at this time.
We're flat broke, man.
Okay. Well, Bartholomew is present. So, let's root through his stuff. Make sure he doesn't have a potion that, you know, could just punish Ryan for not showing up. Go through the old inventory. See if Buddy's got a potion or anything. Magic potion. He does. He just doesn't know what it is.
Okay. Shocker.
Does he have any damage? What is his hit point total, I wonder? Thank God I had this potion. He drinks it down. He looks much better. Yeah, he actually has wounds. Out of 35, he's taken 15 hit points, so he's down to like 20. I think he's a kind enough soul to offer a potion to our most wounded Fafal. He doesn't know what it does. Let me check out the party sheet here. Would you like to know what's behind potion number two there, Fafal?
No, I'm going to turn it down.
Okay. Does anyone have use magical device, the skill with ranks in it? Not even Fafal with the former, all three of those implied classes could also possibly, no?
Nope.
All right. So with him putting away the, what, you know, everyone believes is poison. Oh, wrong game. that leaves possibly exploring what's left of said dungeon, Lord Akiko.
Yes, I believe we should probably check out the rest. At this point, I don't think there's much left.
Couldn't hurt to throw a hireling or retainer or underling in there, just to be sure. Shove, are you the brave that leads?
I mean, shy of any more doors, I don't think we need to put Fafal in the front.
Okay. Well, there's no doors here. I'll even say Bartholomew offers, you know, and he literally says, Winston, you know, my lord, allow me. And he peeks his head in with his dark vision, because he's a half-orc, disappears for a moment, and then comes back. And he says, it is merely a broken tunnel connecting this room and the room where we found that evil, where you found that evil child.
I don't believe we saw any more doors down that hallway, so I do believe that's probably everything. I suppose then in that case we must catch up with Lord Varth.
Of course. Allow me to clear your way, my lord, Bartholomew says, and goes and whisks himself up the ladder. Bartholomew's being awful forward and deferent. Now, technically...
Formal, too.
Sir Bartholomew, knighted, has the same rank as you. Lord Akiko is a lord. He does outrank you guys, but he's never held it over. And when you guys first met him, he really didn't seem interested in my lord this, my lord that, right? And even though you lovingly say Lord Varth, you know what I mean? Like, it just... So why now? Anyway, off he scoots. Gentlemen, do you care to leave the dungeon via ladder or via sewer? I mean, there is a lovely exit into the sewers.
Fafal is going to get some cone-headed flashbacks of a sewer and vote for the ladder.
No, did I? Are you referring to one of our best episodes?
Strength check of 17 to roll reversal, carry Barkley up the ladder.
You're going to carry, a halfling's going to carry a full-on wolf?
Yep. With a roll of 17, I am. I'm not weak. I do have strength. No,
I'm just trying to see how this works, where like you got one hand on the rungs, 2 feet on the ladder, and you're going to hold him by the scruff and just hold him out.
Just drink my shoulders.
The wolf is considered a medium creature, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Yep, and you're a small creature. Like, you're a small creature, dude.
No, halflings are...
What? No, you're small. No. You got a +1 to your AC because you're small. This is a wolf.
That's why you can ride on the wolf.
That's why you can ride on him, dude. You're a small creature, man. Don't tell him. He just realizes now.
Sorry. Yes, my bad.
His entire life...
I was thinking dwarf for some reason. It's early. Bear with me.
No, I think this is good. So we're at the bottom of the ladder, and he's like, he just disappears under this mound of like wolf belly and pops out like, I got this, gentleman. You know,
I'm not carrying him up, but I am pushing him up. It's a ladder.
Get up that ladder.
He can't carry me up.
Hey. as the comedy ensues, and you know, like 3 strength checks and 2 rungs later, right, this rope drops down, and it's actually bowed like a double bow, so you can loop under like a dolphin. Bartholomew lowers a rope, and he either had it ready, or maybe this is how we came in. Really fast rope work. Again, Bartholomew seems to surprise you being too ready. Anyway, rope comes down, and it has that double bow that you could easily loop under there, and you can still push, but you know, he can pull from the top. And so we drag all the, you know, I'll be nice and forego a whack of strength for all those climbing days I made you do. We drag everybody up to the top. And you guys are in that office in the warehouse, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And there still lies the body of the fetchling dude that we stripped of gear and you got a sickle off of, I think. I think it was his sickle you took, right?
Pretty sure.
No sign of Varth and Vicky the Intelligent Horse. Obviously, they've, you know, gone forth. And the warehouse has your proverbial cultists and guys from this faction that, remember, these guys were a foreign entity. They came from another land and infiltrated the Senate. And then we found the halflings were involved. There's this god, Thelmar Gix, that they worship, some halfling god of murder we've been mixed up in, and all this stuff going on. And it's all starting to register, you know, the fatigue of the battle. I mean, you guys went from a party and drinking and smooching, which is tiring in itself, to a teleportation, to a puzzle room, to an escape room, to endless dungeon. Like, we've had 20 episodes of dungeon crawl, and you're finally making it to, you know, what you hope was the surface. And then just to find out that Lady Lothied had been taken, and then you guys... cavaliered up, trucked across town, all on horseback, kicked in the door of the warehouse, and found another little dungeon. And now you come back up out of this warehouse. It is on a side street, like as you saw the warehouse top map. doesn't have that adjacent buildings. Like, there's a little bit of a stretch. Okay. But what awaits you up top, of course, is our steeds. Mukage, the noble steed. You've never left yours. You have Winston. And I think we had a U-Haul rent a horse for
Aiden. Barkley.
Barkley. Sorry. Yeah, you had your mount, Winston.
I'm just going to change their names. It's going to be Sir Barkley and his faithful wolf, Winston.
one tiny anomaly at a time, please. And Aiden, I think he was either on the back. He was spooning with Lord Barth, or he got his own horn.
Or I would walk, depending.
Okay. So we're back up here where we secured the mounts. Can I have a perception check from Lord Winston? I mean, Sir Winston. I mean, from...
Perception. Use them eyes. 17.
Okay. You notice that Mukage is tricked out. You don't remember Mukage having, like, full-on, like, stylized parade armor leather barding on this horse. This horse is tricked out, has a military saddle. Yeah, remember that. You know, and you just rode around Mukage, but it's like, did somebody come in, like, armor leather? And not just regular boring leather armor, the parade style.
Yep. And I will make mention of that.
Okay. So what do you want to do? What are you going to say? To whom are you speaking?
To Leon. I will inquire from him. And I will not address him as Lord because I never have.
So go ahead.
Leon, where did you find this stunning barding? Indicating the beautiful embroidery on the saddle. And
yeah.
This would be... a family heirloom. Dignitaries of my family. It's quite old. I put it on for the party. Don't you remember?
Winston just kind of shakes his head.
Oh, well. At any rate, Winston, might you come over here for a moment? I need to discuss something with you.
I'll approach.
It's been a while since we were in... Well, above any form of a dungeon, and I quickly pull out a little dagger and I hand it to you. You might want to clean up. You're looking a little scruffy.
Runs his hands across his chin. Of course, I wouldn't want to give anybody the wrong image of me. I could sure use rest. Okay. For Fall as well, he's quite wounded.
Nice of indeed. Nice of Leon to offer you a sharp blade to clean up and trim the beard that you've earned recently from being knighted. You start growing it in, but then
of
course there is...
I'll decline the knife.
Okay.
Bust out the sick...
Okay. Start scraping away. Leaving him to his task and assuming he's going to clean shave himself, Lord Akiku, right? It's later, but perhaps too late to escape your notice that he's cleaned himself up, but he's left like this little beard, thin, you know, mustachio kind of thing.
Well, like, there's time. Perhaps he'll fix that later.
Like, gentry. Moving through the streets. Now, Leon, you know where Varth went because you sent him there. Lady Lothied, in her semi-consciousness, spoke of a mansion that she would believe, because she's part of the inner court, that, you know, if not here at the safe house, there is, you know, a family villa that, you know, your allies would be at. And this is probably where Varth has taken Lady Lothied. With the Senate slain and a possible coup underway from multiple sides, it is possibly best you travel through the city incognito and try to slip, you know what I mean? Prancing Mukage, full barding, and your own splendor, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Look at me and what side I'm on, you know, I'm walking through the city.
Yes, let's head it over to the... one of the taverns that we would normally visit. And as we go to put our horses away, I'm just going to stash the more obvious piece of his barding. And then we can leave that there. And we do know where this villa is, do we not?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Then once I've kind of removed the more auspicious aspect of the barding, I'll flip my coat up and suggest we head out.
Still, not doing it here. I only have a percentage chance that you guys are spotted, and if spotted, perhaps even approached, or, you know, movements of taken note. And whether you are or not, I suppose you'll never... The closest tavern of note, but it has a stable, doing what you must do, and a stiff drink for the boys. Good job. And now, with a little bit more, not looking so standout-ish, off to the villa as we cross town. The city is not in complete chaos, Sir Winston and Fafal. It is in disarray. I mean, news of the slaughter has spread. People are in their home. They're not walking the streets and stuff. You see clumps of people in alleys, you know, trying to stay off the street kind of thing. But like, man, have you heard, what are we going to do? Or, you know, this type of thing, right? You see soldiers in pairs of four and six and riders patrolling, trying to maintain order, you know, assuring citizenry. Okay. But it's who the soldiers seem to represent, Sir Winston, that seems strange. And the odd Taldarian banner. Remember, it's the week of the festival, so everyone's bringing out their colors. Yeah, green and blue and gold, you know. Woohoo! Right?
Yep.
All that's there. But it's flanking something else. A larger, dark, shimmering jade and silver gold banner of a standard that you don't recognize, Knowledge Nobility?
Nope. Not a clue. Don't recognize it at all. Okay. With a raw intelligence check of one.
a strange pinwheel symbol. And I'm not talking about like ye old Roman one side or the terrible Nazi Wishtika. I'm talking about like an actual wheel spread with spokes and symbol. It's we'll get into it later, but it's at a glance, it's a stylized pinwheel of rotation of something. A stormy, flamey dragon motif on a distinct dark jade shimmering background pendant, and that it's flanked by smaller and lesser standing the crown gold, as you see here, the lion, you know, the white lion on the blue and green field with the gold crown overhead, which should be flying higher, which should be a thicker banner. And even though it's doubled either side going, lest we not forget, you know, what's dominating these streets, these seats, these banners, is this new banner. And the soldiers wear a hybrid armor of a Taladian style and something that looks like Leon's traditional armor. And amongst these soldiers, not just Taladian soldiers, the proud, I'm just trying to think of the background. There's Chalaxian, Eldarian, Taladian. The people are all a mix of one of the races. It eludes me. It's not like the ancient Aslanti. There's the common man. Sorry. Anyway, amongst your regular Taladian citizen, whatever ethnic background he may be, okay, the officers leading your little pack of four or a mix are Taishanian warriors. We make our way. This is strange, to say the least. Leon leads us through the streets, you just catch. And because we're kind of darting the back way, you don't get a chance to like hit a main street where you see this or see the soldiers and can go up and ask or whatever. You're catching glimpses like we're in a back alley, and up the alley you see the people, and then you see these soldiers going by and there's a banner and you're like, eh? You know, looking down a side street or into a bigger street, even though we're on all the side streets. So,
okay.
Unfortunately, don't have the chance to investigate before we, like, Leon.
Well, and you know, we have no idea the fallout from the Senate disaster.
Yeah, like, did the guy have an entire army coup in place one, and he's already like, victory, waving the flag? Like, holy crap. And
that's what it seems like.
But the Vinmark family, which were elevated to nobility by the Stavians, were his muscle. And, I mean, you know, there was a foreign entity brought in, and the cultists and those guys in the black and purple. But these soldiers, you know, did this all happen outside the walls? You know, when did they raid the city? Did they have them stationed out there? I mean, do you remember the 3 months before this? You traveled. You were the guy that was patrolling Halfling lands. Like, surely you would not have missed a freaking army or garrison or something. Yep. Camped
well,
out.
I'll take notice and take extra care to not be seen by these groups, thinking that, uh-huh, that we have been invaded.
Yeah, Leon also, even though his armor resembles him, whatever, he's trying to hide. He stripped the barding, you know, that kind of thing. Anyway, any questions directed to Leon? You just get a sort of a shake of the head, not now, and he spurs the horse on. And
I'm not asking anything. Yeah, I'd be just more focused on keeping quiet and getting through.
As we and duck and weave, taking the long way, we find...
We are all quite wounded.
Yeah, yeah. This is not the, you know... But, you know, what is going on, you know?
Like, even Barkley's hurt.
Mm.
Little spider doll.
So, finally arriving. This mansion, this villa, Makage and Winston are taken off of your hands.
Barkley.
No, they stable Winston too.
Okay.
Nakagi's taken off of your hands. Winston is expected to stable Barkley on his own.
And I would at least.
Yeah. So you and Fafal fall behind for a moment.
Fafal behind?
Yeah. Lord Akiko dismounts, is greeted by Taishin's shoulders, and taken into the house. Right? Lord Akiko mumbling something about that he'll send for you. Now, getting Barkley settled and the two of you, you know, cleaning up as best you can out here.
Just okay. Me and Fafal?
Just you and Fafal.
I'll make mention to him that things seem I won't go into.
Okay, let's have it. Don't be afraid to RP a little bit. Yeah.
Yep. Fafal, have you noticed a difference in the way things are?
I mean, not all ambient music aside. Got my sitar playing, right?
I have no idea what you mean.
I'll look around at all the different tapestries and stuff and just kind of like give them a weird look out of them. Don't want to play any of Fall's games, so I'll just leave it at that.
A stable hand brings you a bucket that's obviously meant for a little better than a horse for the two of you to share and wash up in. This is not standing of a night. The city's in chaos. I don't know. You let it go? Or you demand better soap and water?
Nope.
Okay. So a splash, a scrub, a comb through the hair as best you can. I mean, they must have known where you've come from, right? And we clean up some oohs and ahs, but, you know, we're as best we can do. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'll blow dry both of us with the wind that's constantly circling around.
It's awfully handy to have him around.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
I just walk up, step on his foot.
Yeah. So anyway, a solid hour goes by. You guys are left to clean yourselves up and have just left waiting. If you guys, you know, inquire about what can we go in, where's Lord so-and-so, right? The stable hands just kind of shake their head and go back to work or whatever. If you guys approach the guard out front, they just, you know, politely but very firmly, you know, you must wait for word from inside. Finally, a solid hour later, however, a servant? Minister? It's hard to tell. I mean, the guy's acting like a servant, but he's impeccably dressed with black and white robe and this little tall pill hat. Taishan guy. Anyway, he comes out and he has a couple little ladies in waiting kind of with them, and they have boxes and they bring you guys clothes to change into right out here in the stable. You guys are given some afford of privacy, like, you know, an empty stall that is clean. Now, as far as stables go, I gotta say, Winston, this place is immaculate. Fresh hay every 5 seconds. One horse poops, five guys are on it. Like, this place is freaking clean. Not your generic run-of-the-mill. So it's like, okay, well, Princess Stavian, who you assume owns this place, is right on, you know, like, got everything. So it's like, okay, you guys take a stall, clean up the best you can, get into these fresh clothes, okay? They tell you that they're going to take your weapons and armor because no weapons inside.
Yep.
Now, a knight has the right to bear a weapon, a sword, or a sickle, or, you know, whatever. Do you demand this right?
Yes.
Okay.
I will.
They don't argue with you.
I'll keep the sickle.
They don't argue with you. But they act troubled. Like, you know, like, this isn't real. Okay. Anyway, you seem to outrank them. Because they, like, you know, they politely ask for your stuff. They very deferentially, you know, give you clothes and all this stuff. And you get all cleaned up. Anyway, they give you robes, basically, so that you guys can take your armor off, still wear your Under Armour garments and stuff, clean yourself up, and wear these nice silk robes that cover everything and make you look very presentable, like a little mini suit. So it's not so bad, you know, right? And then you've got you take your weapons belt back and just tie it around the outside of the robe and get your sickle dangling, and you're good to go, right?
Yep.
These guys fall on Barkley like he's another horse. They start brushing him and everything, and he's into it.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, well, there you go.
Barkley likes pampering.
Yeah. They don't bring Fafal a bucket. They don't bring Fafal anyway. Anything. They act like he isn't even there. Now to you, the bucket's for the two of you guys. Do you want to share it with them? You know.
Absolutely.
They do bring clothes for the two of you, but they don't, you know, they give it to you. I didn't do anything with him, right? Anyway, finally, after all this rum-a-rah, right? The minister's this little dude, you know, asks you in Taladian Common to, you know, to come with him. You know, your lord requests your presence. Not lady, not princess. Your lord has asked for you to obtain audience. So in you go. Yep. And scrolling down, you pass some mighty looking guards that deferred you before, guarding the way. They let you in and they bring you to Bartholomew. Just inside the door, you think you recognize this room. This is the room where you were knighted. This is the room where Princess Stavian sat, where Lord Varth approached, took a knee, and then was sat and stood beside her, as it were, where Fafal opened some doors for a breeze, where there was a wooden sword fight, where there was ministers, where there was, I run the spies, you know, all the stuff going on. This is the room. You're sure of it. The villa looked familiar, you know, that type of thing, right? But there's some distinct changes. Instead of couches that you see here on the map, those are pillows, or people are just standing. The epic brazier in the center is still lit up cold and has a nice warm glow and all but blocks your view, but it's not so tall that you can't see over it, even you, Winston.
Yep.
Right? But it does seem to act as an informal barrier, because Bartholomew seems very happy to stand all the way back here just inside the door behind said brazier, and you guys are sort of lumped in beside him.
Okay.
15 feet away, okay, on one knee, head down, is Lord Varth himself, as if he's waiting to be addressed. In front of him, on his left, sit on pillows, Lady Princess Stavian herself, though in a demure sort of slightly head down, and she's looking into the room, not at you, not at the door. You know, almost like she's Colum's human people that are all like, ta-da, look up this way, right? On her right, also closer to the door, is Lady Lothied, who you just rescued. And Varth is on the proverbial that side of the room. Adjacent, or across, I should say, in the symmetry, sits a man in full-on type of, like, you know, samurai armor with the double... the Shoto, is it Shoto, Jay? The two swords together? Katana Wakizashi?
Yes.
Yeah, the Shoto set of swords. Katana Wakizashi. Full-on samurai armor with the big trapezoid triangle, you know, wooden-looking shoulder pads and the whole bit. His hair's back in a bun, and he holds his helmet beside him, and he just sits facing in. At the back of the room, where there once stood proud Taladian horse statues with knights upon them, replaced with strange-looking terracotta, bird-headed, spiked, armatured, sort of a stylized, is this supposed to be like art or god or something? But there are two of them flanking this massive dais. The dais, you remember, was just stone and built up. This has a wooden stage on it, a full-on another layer propped up of wood and a two-foot raised level of carpentry with four posts and like a little rail that goes all the way around. And it's almost hard to see the figures that stand or sort of sit upon it. On one side, you see a woman in a purplish robe of quasi-Taishanian descent. On the right, you see a man in black robes, young, you know, late 20s, early 30s. In the center of everything, you see a Taishanian warrior dressed like a general. He makes the samurai's armor look cheap. The man has a huge armature about him, swords the whole butt, sitting on this sort of, it looks like a pillow, but it's raised up like a throne. Gold silks, the tapestries, those banners that you saw fly here. And along the back wall on the stage are all that weird green banner. Yeah, there is our banner, but it's on the side of the room behind the princess. Just one.
Is Bartholomew kneeling or standing?
He is standing, but he's way at the back. Like, he's almost not in the room. He is standing, but he's like way at the back. like the room has like beyond, like you, before you get past that brazier, it's almost like you're not really in this part of the room.
Yep.
He is standing waiting for you, but at the moment, this man with this grand helmet with the shogunate two horns flared up that comes off the front, the actual shogun helm, the battle helm that looks, you know, even more vibrant and has the almost looks like the cardboard cutout wings that come up, you know, the horn kind of thing, sits with a stern face, a middle-aged or if not elderly Taishenian man. And in the center of the room, head bowed, bow on the floor in front of him, is Leon. And the whole room is eerily silent, like they all stopped talking, or they actually weren't talking. They're all just waiting when you guys entered this room. A nod from Bartholomew, and he takes a knee. You take all this in quite rapidly. Sorry for the slow around description, but the impact of how the room has changed is not lost on you. You come in, you take this all in a few seconds. Bartholomew sees you, nods, and then takes a knee.
I'll follow suit. Really confused, though.
Okay. Fafal also drops to a knee immediately. So, everyone takes a knee, you follow suit. And now, again, there's that strange silence. The shogun turns his head slightly and nods to the samurai on Leon's right. And the samurai gets up and comes and sits at a, you know, a place of honor, closer to Leon, but facing in. Then the shogun speaks, and unfortunately, he speaks in his native tongue. Do you speak any of the...
No. I couldn't even pick up tidbits trying to learn from Leon, so...
Okay.
that was one of the first things that went out the window on our travels together. Nope, that's not going to happen.
So, at first, because you don't understand what the man is saying, you are lost. However, after the shogun begins to speak, there are polite breaks or his voice is overheard, okay? Quietly, the samurai on Leon's left, okay, speaks plainly and clearly towards the princess, Lord Varth, and Lothied. And even though he's addressing them, or I should say translating for them, he's speaking loud enough that you guys can hear and get the gist.
Cool.
The man begins speaking, and the samurai soon to translate.
Wareware wa neko kyō mo shiawase de naite.
You show great promise, my son, in the fact that you have survived these trials in this troubling time. I trust you have acted honorably, and I also trust that you will continue to do so, as we will surely soon gain control again of the city. So, Winston, this guy seems to be saying that, like, he's in power, the slaughter, you know, Maxilar, and all that stuff that we were unaware of. And, like, we don't know. We kind of knew that, remember, like with Lothied, we came to the surface between this and Lothied's safe house, that we had an idea that Maxilar was vying for power, the princess had disappeared, and now she's safe here. Maybe she's like tucked in with an ally? Maybe she's sold off something of the kingdom?
Maybe she's a hostage. But
like, this guy has made himself like right at home and is claiming to be in power, and you know, when the shit settles down, you know, he's going to, you know, regain it.
Yep. Everything's just so confusing right now. I'm actually starting to wonder if I did take a heavy blow to the head.
Well, he continues. And soon, again, the samurai pipes up with his translation. General Maxilar is mistaken in his attempt to try to regain sovereignty for the Taladian people. We have blessed them with as much independence as honor allows. And they throw this gift back in our faces by staging this unstable coup and slaughtering their own people at a senate that we practically allow them to govern on their own. This will not stand.
Sore wa ikemasen. Leon bows a little bit further and says, Chichue-sama, modotte kimashita. Chichue-sama no zenta...
The samurai isn't translating for you, so...
Yep. In a moment. Chichue-sama, modotte kimashita. Soshite mo, kore kara mo, eien ni, oyakata-sama no...
The samurai does not... The samurai does not translate Leon's response.
Mamorimasu.
So just out of curiosity, does everybody look like everything's okay? Like, Lady Lothi doesn't look distressed, the princess doesn't look distressed.
Everyone looks depressed and down. You know,
no, I mean, there's no, like, they don't look like they're being held hostage.
Well, they're really dressed nice, and they've obviously seated with this powerful man, but they seem oblivion on their faces. Like, you remember the woman smiling and being a little catty. You remember Lothi being delightful. These women now are acting completely demure, like completely just look ahead or look down and wait till be spoken to, you know, type of thing. Or they seem to have enough position where they can keep their head up a little bit and observe, but silently. But they don't seem angry, mad, distressed. They just seem to be there waiting. Okay.
I'll make an attempt to make eye contact with Lady Lothi to see if she's going to impart a message. But aside from that, I think I'm going to keep quiet.
Okay. The back and forth continues, and you've kind of missed what the translator, like I said, in your mind wandering to the left of this type of thing, right? The conversation has started back up, and the shogun is making more proclamations or something, and the samurai is prattling on, translating to you that his plan, or, you know, I entrust this to you guys, and come, what is your this, and, you know, this type of thing. And then he gets to a point where the samurai is translating that he would like Leon to report. Or does he have anything to add? Or it's almost like a way of saying, so what's your plan, my son? You know, like, it's implied. You get it, it's implied, but never that loss of control. The guy doesn't seem to be having a conversation, right? And there is that one part where he doesn't, I shouldn't say he calls him my son, but there is this level of deference that everyone has in the room to Leon, that Leon is allowed to sit right in front of the dais itself and have a direct conversation with this figurehead. Because like you said, even Princess Stavian, who you think would be talking or a part of this conversation, isn't, but Leon is. And that fact...
Yeah, well, according to me, she'd be like the ranking individual in the room.
Exactly. You know enough courtier and like, you know enough about being a courtier and the way diplomacy works that even though the layout is very foreign, you quickly start realizing who's in charge, what's going on.
Court is court.
Exactly. And guess what? The Stavians don't seem to be in power. They seem to be propped up and holding on to a certain amount of power. But
this
obviously
could be a result of what happened, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been underground.
True. However, the samurai did translate that Maxilar is trying to start some kind of coup against him and his power. So it's like, did this guy start a coup, wipe out the Senate? No, he said Maxilar did. Or was in on it. And where's Grand Prince Davian himself? What happened to him? Where are the Vinmarks? You know, where's all the barbarian Viking dudes? Like, something is really off, obviously. Anyway, while this is all going on, I'd like to draw the audience's attention to Fafal. Now, we all remember the cutscene. A little bit of a reveal with a certain god that you struck a deal with to protect you from the curse of Beset. And it was only a few days ago, just before the party, that one of his underlings approached you to remind you that, you know, time is almost up. You have to make the trade. You have to make the transference. Now, initially, I just assumed that you had marked possibly Lord Varth as this pure soul to sacrifice, to save your own. Or perhaps your growing relationship and, you know, yes, Manning to young Lord Leon. Either one, you know, are men of honor and are pure men that would please this dark god's deal that you've made to save yourself. And now that there's a coup going on, I mean, the plan was for you to do this at the party. But now that there's a coup going on and you guys were in the dungeon, like so many opportunities lost that maybe if he died, you could just sneak over and do the ritual. But no, both men survived and were always very mindful and watchful of your protection, which kept their eyes on you. There was no sneak attack in there. Now we're at court. And on a rare occasion, the Shogun, in his generosity, has allowed Lord Leon's retainers and yourself to bear witness to a very private conversation, almost like a war room conversation. And the samurai is translating for Princess Stavian, Lord Varth, and Lady Lothied, because they're all part of the High Court. But the fact that they're speaking English in front of you and you guys are allowed to witness this knowledge is a huge honor in their eyes, in their culture. And this might be an opportunity. Now, obviously, it would be a suicide mission to strike any of these men here. I mean, Shogun displaced to this villa that the Princess Stavian herself is sort of loaning him, and he set up court here. The place is obviously heavily guarded. There are guards outside. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you would kill a man only to be taken down.
Immediately die, yeah.
Yeah, if it was...
It'd be pointless.
Yeah. It would be immediate imprisonment or death, depending on which guy you struck at. However, an opportunity may arise. So I'm curious, would you... do you still have your eyes on both men? Or do you have a specific target in mind that you'd like to start watching specifically for an opening?
You know, Fafal's a man of opportunity. He isn't one to get all sentimental, too attached. So he'll keep his eye equally on both of them. And if the opportunity arises with either of them, he's just, you know, it doesn't matter which one.
Okay. So Winston, your focus away from Varth and the princess and all of this going, and like I said, the conversation continues. Now you refocus on the conversation itself, and the samurai continues to translate for the Shogun. And the samurai says, the lady princess retainer Lothied has a powerful magical family with vast holdings in the north. Apparently, in his paranoia, Maxillar Pytherius managed a private ceremony and was declared the general heir to the princess's father, the late Grand Prince Stavian, or so this Pytherius claims. He has presented documentation to support this claim through retainers and diplomatic channels. There are even those nobles in the country who believe his standing should merit some sort of independent military stature. The Tal'Darians forget their place. The Alphan Guard has sealed the palace and refuses admittance. Our garrison are in possession to reclaim it as we speak. Normally, this kind of issue would be a simple military matter. However, since Maxillar Pytherius and the Vinmarks have acted up until this point with what they believe is honor and best interests to the Tal'Darian citizens and loyalty to us, it would be foolish for us to move openly in front of the public without our intentions and his intentions being plainly known. The Shogun pauses, the samurai finishes translating, and they take a moment for, you know, Lord Varth, what he's saying about the princess, for all to soak in. Then the Shogun nods towards the samurai, and the samurai nods towards the lady princess, and she speaks. But again, although with authority of her position, she does not speak arrogantly like she controls the room. It is toned down a lot, like from the last... Remember the speech she did on the rail? You know, my countrymen, this type of thing, vote for me, all that kind of stuff, right? It's almost like a different woman stands before you now. Not cowed, but certainly she seems to know that she is...
More demure?
Yeah, a lot, you know, where the command is going. However, although she addresses the room, it's her assurances to the Shogun. She does not speak Tai Shan. So the samurai now switches to Taishan to translate for the princess. But she says in plain English, Taldarian common, I don't know that I'm the best candidate to overthrow Maxilar's claim, but I know Pytherius is not Ogama-sama. He's a warmonger and a regressive traditionalist. He preaches about waging war on upstart colonies, taking back our own country, which, and she demurs to the, you know, without the support of the Jade Regency, would have fallen from its decadent ways a long time ago. So at this point, she literally says, you know, my country can't look after itself. Thank God you guys are here to look after it. This guy thinks that all they got to do is boot you and the country will just go back to wonderful normal. And she's saying, I understand in the wisdom that, you know, we can't govern ourselves. You know, we'll just fall apart. I won't let him back us into an endless war. And I need allies of uncommon skill to ensure our nature's future. I would be honored to have such noble allies as your son. She names Leon. She says, Lord Hakiro, in this war for the crown. Like she's making a request of the samurai finishes translating. The shogun takes it in stoically, pauses for effect, thinks it over, slightly inclines his head towards the man in black, who nods, but doesn't nod like, yeah, you should do this. Nods like, you know, I'll go with what you say kind of thing. Can I have sense motive from everyone,
please? 18.
Okay.
11.
All but Fafal see this as the shogun apparently turning to his man wisely going, do you have any objections? Is there something I didn't think of? And the guy's like, no, this is all good. You know, it's your choice, my lord. In that silent conversation, Fafal, you seem to sense something else. Like, this is for show. Like, the shogun turns towards the man in black going, you know, what do you think? Like, honestly, should I do this? You know, can I do this? Do I have your permission to do this? And even though the guy kind of, like, looks all subservient and nods, there does seem to be, you know, who's the real guy in the room?
Yeah.
It's very subtle, but it strikes you, the impact of who's really in charge here. Perhaps this shogun, this man in black answers directly to the emperor and directly to the Jade Regent and the Five Storms back in Taishan. Perhaps, you know, although the shogun is the military power, this guy represents the political power. And technically, the shogun has to clear stuff with him, almost like, you know, an acting emperor, before he can proceed. This is not lost on you, but unfortunately is somewhat lost on the others. He turns back and he doesn't turn his head towards the woman, but you almost see like he turns his head like he's tilting, thinking about it, looking at Leon. But you can't help but notice, gentlemen, that, and he can't hide this, it's almost like he's leaning and listening to see if she does anything. And she does. There's that ever slight cough. The woman just takes a draped sleeve above her hand to her mouth and just kind of thing. And immediately the shogun's head snaps back and he begins addressing Leon, Lord Hakiro, his son.
Yokaro, ja, sono ke in desu ka? In desu.
So Leon, the samurai has tasked you while he looks after the capital with helping execute what Princess Davian and Lothied are requesting of him. He's putting you in charge of, you know, their mission is now your mission. You're the boss. You decide if it's good or not. Go, you know, go north, look after this Maxilar problem while he deals with what's going on here in the capital. What do you say to that?
Oyakata-sama, zehi, yorokonde, sono shio. But in order to better accomplish it, I would require some assistance. As it stands, those of us with power in my compatriots number and only, it would be best if it would be possible to begin teaching one of my compatriots in the way of Bushi, so that their honor may better convey any need send, if you would allow it.
He narrows his eyes at you and holds up a hand, signaling for, you know, let the candidates come forward. So what do you do?
Bartholomew. Winston.
Winston. Bartholomew immediately, you know, pops up on one knee and shuffles forward and sits behind Lord Leon, a respectable distance in front of the samurai, and he's, you know, down on knee.
I'll follow suit. I'm not experienced in the ways of court, so I'll follow. I'll do the exact same thing that he's.
Okay. So you pop up here, and you know, it puts you guys next, like, a little bit away from Varth, but next to him in line, and behind Leon and the samurai. Fafal remains directly behind Varth, you notice, but on in the back behind the brazier. Leon calls, only the two of you forward, not all three. Leon?
These are my chosen companions and my current subordinates. Should Oyakata deem it, one of them would do well to be trained. They would do well to be trained in the way of the samurai, should you allow.
Long pause from the shogun. He asks you if you are asking him for permission to train them in the 8 tenets of Bushido, just so he's clear.
That is my intent.
Even though he's looking at you and pays them no mind, it's obviously that they've been brought behind you and he can clearly see the half-orc warrior, this halfling, right? I'm going to do a perception check for him. And luckily, because Winston is small and directly behind you, he doesn't notice the sickle weapon he's carrying so far, you know? Get a little close with the weapon there to the old shogun. I'm just saying, people might get upset. Another long pause as the man thinks about it. And the samurai translates for everyone in short words, basically saying, I will allow one, but show me that they both have the right, as you say, to earn it. And he gestures for you to act, Leon. What would you have your men do? Basically, the shogun's going, fine, but only one of them. But since you are saying both are worthy, you know, show me.
I turn around to both of them. Please stand and demonstrate to our lord your worthiness as a samurai through trialed combat. Test yourselves. Show me your discipline.
Leo turns to samurai as if, like, making sure this is okay. The samurai looks at the shogun, everyone nods at everybody, and immediately the entire room moves as one. The ladies get up and hit the back wall. Lord Varth stands in line with his ladies. The samurai clears, pillows clear, that type of thing. Leon makes some gestures towards the doors, and people run off, and in a short order, they bring Bartholomew his weapon, and he stands away from the shogun, way downstage, in front of the doors on the other side of the brazier. Now, that stage is so elevated, the shogun still has a clear view of you guys, you know, beyond, but just at a polite waving weapons around. You're not going to do it, like, right in front of the stage.
I'll look at Leon confused, but following Bartholomew's lead, I'll move opposite to him.
Okay.
As soon as I see my lord move to the side, I will move to flank him.
Okay.
And just get
him. All right.
And also, seeing that there might be a good distraction here, I'm going to reach into my scarf and pull out the...
You're going to pull out
some...
The pokey fingers!
You're going to pull out the venom clasps that the agent of Apotek gets you? Okay. Counting on distraction. Oh, okay. We're going to make his move there. I'm going to miss Frank's character. All right. Sleight of hand, please. To start that off. Now, the fight hasn't started. Everyone's prepping. And it sounds like you're prepping for something, too.
25?
Yep. Well, you just get in position. Pop them on.
Yep, pop him on, slot him into the pockets. Yep.
Okay.
Keep him covered.
Do you begin murmuring the ritual so that they magically envenom and get ready? Or are you going to wait till this plays out a bit?
I'm going to run the lines through my head, but I'm going to wait until the actual combat.
Okay. Two of Leon's retainers have been asked to fight for the honor of becoming samurai, demonstrating their knowledge of Bushido. We have a 6-foot-tall half-orc in full armor who's just been given his axe. And we have a halfling in a robe that happened to have
I'm wearing scale mail.
Yeah, they took your armor, remember?
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm just wearing a robe. Okay.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, it does.
I'm gonna die. Yeah.
For some reason, right? It becomes apparent to you now that, like, Bartholomew got cleaned up. Remember how he left? He came in here. He was here. And yep. Leon is all sparkly. It's like they took him to some private room, gave him both a bath, cleaned them all up, right? Guess who the favorite son is? Dude was... They took up his weapons, but he was allowed to keep his armor. Can I have a knowledge nobility check from you, sir?
Sure. Raw intelligence check. 8.
You don't have knowledge nobility?
I do not have any.
Oh, okay. As a cavalier, I thought... Oh, you just didn't put ranks in it.
I have no ranks, so it's raw.
Okay. So I can't actually tell you that. It's like, well, hey, he's a knight. I'm a knight. Why wasn't I allowed my armor? So whatever, for whatever reason, I mean, there is a logical one, but it escapes you at this time. But for the audience's sake, Leon, you know that your retainer was brought in here because Bartholomew comes from the Dunnelgan family, and he's military. And although not allowed to carry weapons in the Shogun's, you know, he is allowed to wear the family armor because he's part of the standing army. You got to have your soldier at the ready. So we could arm him. If there's an attack at the door, he would grab a weapon and fall in line with those guards and defend you and the Shogun with his life. Just because he's a man at arms. He's your man at arms, part of the standing army of Dunnelgan, which is part of Taldor's army, right? He was given to you as like a, you know, here's your token white guy.
You get to play with those toy soldiers.
Yeah. So he's allowed to keep his armor, just so the audience knows what's going on. But unfortunately, the mistake of thinking you're both knighted, Sir Winston, is lost on him with an 8. So you, Leon, have been given not only the task to, you know, prove it or whatever, you're kind of the adjudicator. You know, you're the guy that says go, you're the guy that says stop, right? Though you hope your guys give a good enough show because they're kind of on their own, you know, in front of dad to put on a good show and whatever. And when it becomes obvious there's a winner or one demonstrates or whatever, then you can stop the fight. Hopefully, both are very skilled men, even off of his little wolf, that, you know, you don't lose a retainer today.
Mm-hmm.
The Shogun's will is that these guys need to be willing to die for you, for their lord. They must at least approve their will for it. The room clears. Fafal gets ready, and everyone leans in, gets some popcorn. Shogun's brought popcorn. All right.
And before we're all finished shuffling into position, I'm going to address Leon.
Okay.
Forgive my ignorance, my lord, but you wish us to fight.
I wish you to be honorable.
And I'll, like, super confused. trepidatiously draw the sickle and look across to Bartholomew and see if I can get a read on him for what his intent is with a sense motive of 23.
The man shows you no malice, no eagerness to fight you, but he stands proud like a Dunnelgan. He shows he is ready to act on his lord's order, and we'll say there's even the slightest little bit of melancholy sadness just out of one twitching eye towards you. That, yes, indeed, he's not thrilled to have to fight his comrade and of what might happen. But if it's going to be him.
He's ready to throw down.
That's right.
Okay. All right.
So anyway, Leon, in this duel, or in this you want them to act honorably, okay, one has armor, one does not. But it's still kind of a test. Like, another idea of this is because you've said, Father, you know, let my guys be ready, and the douchebag goes, well, show me now. Obviously, one is more prepared. One has armor, twice the size, and is called for his favorite weapon. Your other retainer has to do the best. He's better mounted, okay? Kind of a, not your wheelhouse, you're on foot, but, you know, I believe in you kind of thing. He has a weapon on him. What the fuck did that come from? But he is allowed to choose his weapon of choice. And he isn't wearing armor. Now, samurai do the jammy thing and do full armor for war, so they're expected to, you know, I mean, even the samurai in the room isn't armored, you know. In the Bushido code, armor doesn't come into it. It's your own strength of will, you, the sword, that, you know, that type of thing. So, my understanding
of... samurai. Yeah. Requires no armor.
Right. Like, you can't really, like, stop the Shogun's wish to, like, go, oh, we should armor up our little guy here.
Not to mention the Shogun's probably playing a bit of racist favorite here.
Yep. Indeedio. Yeah,
I mean, I can read that out of the room. Well, I get it. I'm used to that by now.
But even the half-orc has been considered a second-class citizen by the Taldorians. To you guys, you're all just Gaijin. You're just, you know, just outsiders. However, Leon, his weapon of choice. Do you, you know, the man seems confused. He hesitantly draws his sickle. Anything? Any last words? Encouragement? Advice? Tell him you're gonna miss him.
No. I will leave that till whatever happens.
Okay. Leave it. Let the fate and honor decide. Eh? Mm-hmm. All right. Sorry, Matt. Stuff you called Leon over and I took advantage of it, the GM, to like, nope, sorry, okay. So Leon steps aside once more, or I should say he steps back towards the doors, because you're to fight right in front of him honorably. You guys pretty much just have this small, I know it doesn't look like a lot of room, but it actually is a decent amount between Lord Leon, who's watching you as judge, and the brazier, a 5 foot wide, 10 foot long space for you guys to narrowly face off as samurai duel. Is a lot of space, really. I know it doesn't look like much on the map here, but... And don't forget, Daddy's watching.
Yeah, make sure you move the noble ladies out of the splatter zone.
Yeah. don't want to get anything on the shoes or the dress. So, roll for initiative.
Uh-oh. Come on, big number. Yeah. 7.
Fafal, do you still have control of Bartholomew? Because I do not wish...
See.
I do not wish to be blamed. I got this if you don't, but...
I do.
Okay. Well, we'll let you roll for old Bartholomew then. Initiative, please.
6.
Yes! Yes! Oh, I rolled the wrong initiative. Barkley. I rolled the wrong initiative, but
Barkley comes charging into the room. Stop this fight!
So actually we would have both gotten 6. My dex is 14.
What's Bartholomew's?
You'd still go first though.
Okay. Yeah. So Leon gives the cue to begin.
Hiro.
Hajime.
Shin Johnny. Mishura.
Didn't speak for you.
No. That was pretty good.
Hajime.
Both men step forward at the same time. Winston having the slight lead in initiative. Bartholomew comes straight forward. He doesn't run you. He doesn't charge you. He's not a total dick and like bull rushes and uses his size. He just hefts his axe and steadily advances on you as a samurai would with his sword, holding it high. You have initiative. What do you do?
Well, knowing Bartholomew's intent, and he's also a very good friend, I'll step forward, kneel, and place my sickle on the floor, and look to Leon, and say,
"Apologies, my lord, but I cannot fight this man. I owe him my life, and if it must be he or I, the honor should go to him."
And I'll bow.
Hold.
Bartholomew immediately stops, axe way over his head in the samurai chop style. Dude just freezes.
We'll fall in the background. His fingers are like right behind Barth.
Okay.
He's so also stopped.
Can I have initiative for fall? Yeah, it's like you're just moving in there, buddy. You got, have you started the chant?
Yes, I have. Your soul in exchange for mine. For the deceiver, my lord.
Can I have a bluff check? Because if you are chanting, you might be heard. Especially since you're kind of mumbling, for fall.
16.
Okay. And I'm going to go with Lord Samish's perception. Now, he is focused on the fight, so I will give him a slight penalty. But if you're going to come whispering up, no, one of us, he might notice you. So, in the skill page, a little perception, because he's always so perceptive, right? 7. He's got the popcorn. He's talking to Lothbeed, right? This is going to be good, Lily got his head turned away from you, exposing the neck. Oh, this is going to be awesome. I'm going to miss his character, too. I can't help the symmetry that the two guys didn't show. One of them, might not make season 2. All right. So, now, moving in with that initiative. And Lord Leon.
Bartholomew, with Winston's act... He has left his life in your hands. What will you choose to do?
The axe swings down, a mighty swing, and falls inches from your neck and strikes the floor with a resounding clash. There is no squishy head roll, as if he lets the axe do the talking, and the fact that it's obvious it hit the floor, and then he withdraws it and nods to you. And puts it away and takes a step back. He has made his proclamation, Lord Leon.
Courage. To be able to do what is right without any hesitation. Many times in combat have I witnessed both of Bartholomew Donaldagan, Commander, and Winston, You've both acted with courage in many things. I've seen you act in benevolence, acting and showing sympathy and for those around you and those in need of. I know, despite your hiccups, both of you tend to not quite understand the true nature of courtesy and politeness in certain courts, but that can be trained. You are both honest to a fault. If there is something in your means, something you can do to help others, you will. You both act for honor. I have never once witnessed either of you losing control after a provocation. I know of your loyalty. Both of you would have died for me just as I would die for you. I know that you both know.
Oh, yeah, no, I think everyone starts humming. Hmm, 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 hmm,
hmm, hmm. I know of both of your ability and control of self. If something is right, you will follow the right code. If something is wrong, you will denounce it as wrong.
Join in.
But today, the difference was rectitude. It's important to follow commands, to do what you are told. But it is more important yet to make sure that what you end up doing, you agree with and can follow through. A loyal samurai is the one that with their full being believes in the ideals of their commander. In so doing, they will hesitate not to follow a command. However, it is that their ideals align that they will follow the command. In showing that you are willing to defy such an ideal or setup purely based on your own ideals, and yet at the same point accepting fully the consequences of your actions, Winston, would you be trained as a samurai?
Shocked, he looks up.
Be my honor, my lord.
Bows his head low.
Oh, my lord, there's an insect on you. Let me get it.
So the moment Winston accepts, you like jab him in the neck with your little fangs?
Yep.
Okay. Have attack roll, please.
Yes, you can.
I mean, dude's flat-footed, that's for sure.
Yep. Nine.
Nine.
My assumption is flat-footed touch.
Yeah, that's true.
So I actually don't know what that would be.
It's like, yeah, it's 11. So anyway, you're so close, you know, you're so ready. You're like, sir, a bee or an insect or whatever, right? And you go to jab him in the neck. And as soon as you say there's an insect or whatever, you didn't know he had some kind of phobia, right? He jerks. He's like, what, where? And he pulls back and you're just like, yeah. Let's see if he perceives what, you know, what you're swatting with. Nope, I'm a moron. Okay. So you go to strike him and you blow it. You got the chant revved up, right? Oh, no. Anyway, these are still active. They will remain active until you strike. Meanwhile, Leon, Bartholomew, nods and takes his losing well. There's always next year kind of thing, right? And gives his bouquet for not being Miss America and his axe back to who gave it to him. And he goes back into position. Leon, what do you do?
I turn to Winston. The samurai were originally a group of people dedicated to protecting the land. That sickle is one of our original weaponry. If you can master rectitude, courage, benevolence, politeness, honesty, honor, loyalty, and maintain self-control in all situations, we'll see if we can't get you something a little more modernized.
So right now, Winston is just very happy. He's taking his lucky stars that that he didn't get his head chopped off by Bartholomew's giant axe.
Leon walks off and takes position a knee back to the samurai, back to the shogun. Mm-hmm. For, you know, you were saying?
So, like, super confused. I'm thanking my lucky stars. I'm invoking every blessing I've ever had. You know what I mean?
Oh, wait, whoa. I'm sorry. Are you saying you're invoking blessings and thanking stars? And
yep.
Do you guys remember a couple episodes ago? The gold dust, you know, thanked you for offing the evil outsider Gix and says, you have my blessing, and then just vanished?
Yep.
Well, that blessing comes now. Gentlemen, the three of you, while Fafal is silently cursing and trying to make sure that the glow doesn't fade on the fangs, might get another second chance, while Varth is like, did you get it? Right? Now he's sticking his neck out towards you. Did you get all of them? Did you, like, do you have a perfect chance? But, like, now he's drawing so much attention. Lady Lothied's looking at stuff. He's just like, he's holding his head out towards you, and you can't just. Could you, you could stab and run.
I got it, my lord. We're good.
I got it, my lord. It's okay. We're okay now. Fuck. All right. Sorry, but you had your chance. Oh, well.
Maybe. I know.
Oh, sorry. You don't, you've been waiting so long.
The dice.
Well, maybe next time. Speaking of blessings, Lord Leon, you address your future samurai friend, very proud, and you proudly walk. And as you're walking towards the raised dais, Winston inadvertently invokes the blessing for you all. And Fafal and Winston and Jay are blessed with true seeing for 1 hour. The intent was that no more deception could fall upon you as you try to make your way out of the dungeon or whatever. Little Navi gives you true seeing for a single hour. The intent was to help you escape a dungeon. The fact that you didn't use it as soon as you ran into some other bad guy, because you thought you needed it, is irrelevant. The fact that you literally can see through illusions, can see polymorphed creatures, and a couple of other things is astounding. Let's start with Fafal, crying over his beer. You notice from your scarf pocket, where you placed a certain item, a slender silvery gold tendril of magical energy that you see clasping at it and just sort of winding itself off your chest out towards the room towards Winston. Winston, you notice that a large glow on your back actually envelops you and fades and becomes more opaque, or less opaque, as it comes around the front of you, that you are literally standing in sort of a strange glowing bubble.
And, okay.
And Lord... Oh, it gets better. Lord Leon, as you and everyone else take their places and set up court, Lord Varth, Fafal, fading back to the back of the room again, Princess and Lothied taking their places... You notice your mother, who you know is an imposter. Your mother is being held by the Vinmarks and this woman dressed up like her. Now, true seeing does not allow you to see through a mundane disguise, but you and the Shogun know that that's not mom. And the Vinmarks have your mom as a bargaining chip. And that's the real reason why Dad hasn't stormed the palace with his entire garrison, even though there's a couple of brave Vinmarks, is because his wife, your true mother, who's supposedly here at court for show, is actually held hostage by the Vinmarks. And that's what he is sorting out while he sends you north. The golems, not statues, terracotta golems that flank the throne, and you see a magical tendril going to the man in black, sort of a symbol on them and a symbol above his head denoting that he has control of those guardians, not Dad. And the most interesting thing of all, as you take a knee beside the samurai right next to you, the man with two Bushido blades, you see the man, but you also see superimposed a creature with fur and a fox head, revealing the identity of the Kitsune as the samurai translator. And we will see you next season, because gentlemen, you have just finally finished book one, with our slight alterations, of Dice Before Dishonor. Say goodnight, Winston.
Good night, everybody.
Say goodnight, Leon.
Sakerna.
Say goodnight. Oh. Say goodnight, Fafal.
Ah. Good night, everybody. Just keep your eyes open for those pesky felines. The next season.